1 Corinthians chapter number 7. We continue our look verse by verse through the book. Let me get these mics on before they fall off. Just turn that on. There we go. Testing. All right. If you're new to our ministry, as we normally have visitors and guests, particularly from the radio and things like that, we're going verse by verse through Paul's epistles because that is our instruction from God. The way that you go through the scripture is line by line, precept by precept. And what that does is a couple of things. You get to see every word of God. Now, in particular, you and I who live today in the dispensation of grace, God's word to us is found in a specific part of your Bible. When you study your Bible, you're just not to go and just start in the book of Genesis and start reading through. That's what most people think, that they read it like a regular book. But that's why God puts men in the church, the body of Christ, to help teach you how to study your Bible. Go with me, if you will, before we begin, to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, in order to understand God's word, you have to study it a certain way. The reason you're confused in your Bible study, if you're confused, is not because God wants you. God is not the author of that confusion. Satan is, and your own flesh is. God gives us instructions on how to understand his word. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Now, in the context, he's speaking to a minister as myself or Brother Josh. But in general, this is the way. This guy, Timothy, is the one who's going to teach God's word. So if God instructs him on how to study it, to make sense of it, and to teach it that way, that means it's for all of us. Anyone who uses God's word. Verse 15. Study. Now, if you don't have a King James Bible, you won't have that in there. The King James Bible in verse 15 is the only Bible that tells you to study God's word. And it tells you how to do it. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Do you want to be approved unto God? Do you want God to approve your in the particular, in the case here, it's a ministry. In Timothy's case, it was a ministry of teaching God's word. In your life, it's when you open your Bible up, do you want to have God's approval? Well, he's about to tell you how to do it. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman. There's some workmanship here. There's some craftsmanship here. It's some labor here. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. When the foreman comes to look at the job, he won't say, well, do it over. You didn't do it right. He'll look at it and say, well done. Why? Because verse 15, rightly dividing the word of truth. God's entire word is true, but not every part of God's word is written directly to you and about you. It's all for us. But when it comes to what God says for us today, it is only found, the doctrine, the sound doctrine, is only found in Paul's epistles, Romans through Philemon. That's why we have this chart. This yellow area is the present dispensation of grace where we live. And there are some verses written directly to us and about us, Romans through Philemon. And so we're going through Paul's epistles. Brother Josh is teaching the book of Ephesians, one of Paul's 13 books, next week. I'm teaching the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, does that mean we don't teach any other parts of the Bible? No. We study the book of Acts. That's written to Israel. We studied that earlier today. On Thursday nights, we're studying the book of Hebrews. But here's what we do that other people don't do when they teach Hebrews and Acts. When the denominational teacher teaches these things, he puts you in there. Most churches in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels. And when they teach the four Gospels, they teach it as if it's speaking to you and me, and they're not. When Josh and I go to the four Gospels, we teach it as if it's the way it's supposed to be taught, as if it's speaking to Israel, the Jewish people. We're Gentiles. So because of that, we have to go verse by verse through Paul's epistles. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. Now, if you're going to understand family life, if you're married today, you got to listen to Paul to have a wonderful marriage. If you are a parent today, I have a little girl. She's not here yet. I hope. I don't know where my wife. I'm a husband, too, but I don't know where my wife is. It's kind of frightening because Chris is always on time. Anyway, I'm a father now. I can learn how to be a father from God's word through Paul. If you're a mother, same thing. If you're a parent, If you are single, today we're going to look at singles in the church. See some application from God's word for those who are single. Whether you're single, you've never been married, you've been married and you're widowed, you've been married, you're divorced. We're going to see there's instruction, but it comes from Paul. If your family life is up and down or messed up, that's because you haven't been listening to Paul. I get calls all the time, and families are the family life is the biggest problem in the church, the body of Christ. The complaint I get, and the problem that I see the most with saints, with believers, is problems in their family. Husbands, wives, children, other relatives. Just a mess. Because we saw that Satan wants to destroy free will and marriage and family. And he wants to destroy the chastity of the single people. Because single people have a place and part in the body of Christ as well. We're going to look at that. Well, look with me at let's start at verse number 16. Paul says in verse 16, we ended last week by saying, "For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband?" Notice in verse 15, we left off verse 15, "But if the unbelieving depart," if that lost person that you're married to, or if that saved carnal Christian who doesn't believe God's word through Paul, if they depart, if they abandon the marriage, let them go. Let them depart. Why? A brother or a sister is not under bondage. You're not under the bonds of marriage, matrimony. In such cases, in those cases where you're abandoned because God hath called us to peace. Obviously, if they're not pleased to dwell with you in peace, God would rather you have peace than to have all the strife, the constant strife. Now, husbands and wives are going to fight. They're going to argue. They're going to have disagreements. This is the funniest thing. People say they go from church to church, church to church, church to church. They're looking for the perfect church. The moment you step in it, it's not perfect anymore. You know that, right? Because the flesh. You don't even agree with your spouse 100% of the time, do you? No. Because your spouse, if she's a female, she thinks one way, or you're a male, you think one way. You don't agree, but you live together and you try to live in peace. You make peace. You endeavor to keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. That's the topic at Brother Mike's conference. So you know you don't even agree with your spouse 100% of the time. How in the world are you going to agree with your brother or sister in Christ all the time? As long as we have this flesh, the only time that we're going to agree and not have strife is when we raptured out of here, man. That's it. But you work at it the same way God gives you a marriage partner to show you how to work out differences. Because you're going to have differences in the marriage. You just don't give up on the marriage. But let's say something's happened. We already saw these things. If you weren't with us, you have to get the DVD, the CD, or listen on the internet. There are going to be times where your spouse just don't want to continue. Now, notice Paul calls them the unbelieving. But if the unbelieving depart, let them depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. God's ultimate calling for the church, the member of the church, the body of Christ, is a peaceful life, a quiet and peaceable life. And if there's constant strife, one or two things is going on. Somebody's operating in the flesh. Now, if they're lost, obviously, and if they're a carnal Christian, obviously. That's why you want to make sure that, particularly if you aren't married yet, if you're single, you're going to marry someone who's a Pauline grace believer and ready to operate as that spouse, whether it's the husband, spiritual leader, or the wife. The subordinate, but working together, okay? And we're going to talk about that with the singles. But if you're married, now, whatever your case is, because we have different cases, saved people in the church, the body of Christ, who are grace believers, their spouses are lost, their spouses are saved, but in another church, just all the craziness. Well, in your case, Paul has some wisdom for your case. But let me show you something about this one in verse 15. God has called us to peace, verse 16, "For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband?" As much as you might try as a Pauline grace-believing wife, if your husband's an unbelieving, a lost man or a carnal Christian, if he won't believe God's word through Paul, there's no guarantee that they're going to become a believer. Why? Free will. God... I like how Brother Mike says it. Mike has a heart. Brother Mike Finnegan has a heart for lost souls. And he says, he tells people God, he does all he can to get you saved, get you saved. If you're lost, if you die lost, that's because you went against the everything God had to get you saved. He put all his resources into getting you saved. And if you're saved today, God put all his resources into you being a Pauline Grace believer, understanding the rightly divided word. If you're lost and you die and go to hell, or if you've been 20 years as a Christian and you don't know this stuff, that's your fault. It's your fault. It's not God's. You're going to impugn God. God's will is that all men be saved and come unto knowledge of the truth. Your pride, your heart, your flesh was keeping you from it. But once you now get the light, because I'm teaching it right now, you're to respond positively, and then God will he'll build you up in grace. Look what he says here. But he won't go against your free will. Verse 16. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man? When you see that O like that, it's interesting. Paul uses that. The Bible uses that. Paul has some passion here. He feels your pain. I don't know this for sure, but just kind of knowing Pharisees, and Paul comes from a long line of them. These Jewish men had wives. That's the Jewish lore about the Pharisees, the separated. It is my, you believe what you want, but in my study of scripture, I believe that as Saul of Tarsus, Paul was married. And what I think in my mind happened was once he trusted this Jesus, this Messiah, his family abandoned him, including his wife. Because by this time, he doesn't have her. And so when he talks about it, he goes, oh, you think he didn't try to share Christ with his wife? If he had one? Oh, yes, he did. Look how he says in verse 16. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? I'd love to talk to Paul. I say, when you wrote that, that was your experience, wasn't it? He says, yeah, man. Marriage is to be the highest halls of human happiness. It can be. If it's two grace believers operating in that grace, you can't have a higher human happiness. But let me tell you, the opposite is true. If you're in a marriage that's not operating in God's grace, it could be the lowest human hell. It'd be hell on earth. Hell on earth. There's nothing that affects your life more than having a wonderful spouse or a horrible spouse. Nothing. That's why if you're single, don't you hook yourself up with anybody who's not a operating Pauline grace believer. God will give you one. You just got to be patient and work with them in the grace message. Watch this. Verse number 17. But as God hath distributed to every man. Now that's interesting. As the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so I ordain, so ordain I in all the churches. What is Paul saying there? He's saying, as God has distributed to every man, whatever state you are in, therewith be content. You know, not everybody is destined to get married. Not everybody wants to get married. There are people born in our world who, in the course of their life, they choose not to get married. God gives them that choice. The Lord said it over in the gospel. He says there are some men who are born eunuchs. A eunuch is a man in that day who didn't get married. He remained a virgin his whole life. There were others who were born and they were made eunuchs. They were forced into some type of servanthood where they didn't get married. Paul's going to talk about the gift of God. Look at verse number 7, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7. For I would that all men were even as myself. He's talking about single. 1 Corinthians 7, 7. But every man hath his proper gift of who? God. It's how God works. You know, we were talking to some brothers yesterday. Grace is giving people the freedom to make choices based upon their own conscience. You can't put your conscience, even if it's truth, you can't put it on others. You got to give God space to work in their life. You can commend God's word, but grace is freedom. The number one institution is free will. God does not override a person's free will. He just doesn't. And some people, their proper gift of God, how God worked in their life is, verse 7, one after this matter, another after that. Paul says, you could be single, you could be married. If you have a desire to be married, it's better to marry than to burn, so get married. Just make sure you get the right type of spouse. Watch this. Verse 17. But as God has distributed to every man, It's as if God says, this is your part. This is your lot in life. You know, I have, just naturally personality wise and some things from my youth. And many of y'all who know me know this. I have a problem with eye contact. I have a problem. I have a wall of intimacy right there. You know, I don't like dealing with people. Sorry. People say, let's do stuff wrong. I don't know. I'm really a loner. But that's how I know this is my part in the body. Why in the world would I stand up here? There's a poll that says the number two biggest fear is death amongst people. Number two ranking of biggest fears. You know what number one is? Public speaking. That's not for you if you don't like dealing with people. Seriously, I go home and for 2 hours straight, I just sit at the foot of my couch and just unwind. Because it takes a lot of energy. But other people, Bubbles, people who like people, I've known people who get energized by being around people. They're people. They're the opposite of me. And so I know that this is my part in the body because what trumps my desire to remain away from people is my desire to give people God's word, see? Interesting. Everybody has their calling from God. And you use your personality and who you are to serve the Lord. How did I know this was my part? I got in God's word. And the word of God started working. How do you know where you fit in the body? You get God's word in you by coming here, learning and growing, getting God's word in you. Verse 17, but as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. Walk in the calling that God has for you. And Paul says, so I ordain I in all churches. Now go with me back to chapter 4, if you will. This issue of so I ordain. The Apostle Paul is God's ordained spokesman for today. People say, Brother Ron, you all are cult, aren't you? Because we don't have a lot of people. I say, you're fool, your foolishness. That's nonsense. You all worship Paul, don't you? No, we exalt Paul's office like Christ did. Acts 9:15, the Lord Jesus Christ saved Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, said, he is my chosen vessel to the Gentiles and to kings and children of Israel, all the heathen, all the lost. Romans 11:13, I magnify my office. I speak to you Gentiles. I'm the apostle of the Gentiles. Other churches don't make enough of the Apostle Paul's ministry. We worship Jesus Christ according to how Paul preaches them, according to the revelation of the mystery. A cult brings down the glory of the Lord. That's what a cult, it brings down his glory. We exalt his glory. We exalt his word. I believe him when he says, Paul's my vessel. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 16. Start at verse 14. I write not these things to shame you. He's given instruction to our carnal Christian brethren at Corinth. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved what? Sons. Paul's our spiritual father. I warn you. Verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you got all these teachers out there. Yet have ye not many what? You know, every time I read that, you all who've been with us, you know, my father recently just came into my life last June. And I didn't realize the effect it had. I mean, yeah, it's a huge deal, man. He spent 30 plus years away from each other. I didn't even know him until I met him. You only have one father. Proverbs 17, verse 6, the glory of children, their father. You only got one father. You got one man who conceived you, and it'll never be anybody else. That's interesting. Well, spiritually, that's naturally. Spiritually speaking, there's one man who gave us spiritual life, and that's the Apostle Paul. When Paul says, my gospel, that gospel is unique and distinct and separated to the Apostle Paul and no one else. The gospel of the kingdom, the 12, the gospel of the kingdom out here, the gospel of God's grace, that's Paul's. And he's our spiritual father, as it were. That's what he's saying. Verse 15, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For, further explanation, in Christ Jesus. Notice that it was in the Lord Jesus Christ, I, that's Paul, have begotten you through what? And that's the gospel of God's grace, not the gospel of the kingdom. Verse 16, wherefore I beseech you that ye be followers of Jesus. For this, huh? You mean it didn't say follow Jesus? Brother Ron, you all follow Paul. I follow Jesus. And they mean, no, you don't. No, you don't. If somebody thinks they follow Jesus from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, come find me. I'll sit down with you in those verses and we'll go through them and I'll show you every place you don't. Jesus didn't talk to you and me back here as Gentiles. Jesus said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. A Gentile woman with a baby daughter came and said, please get this devil out. And he walked right past her, ignored her. Yet he would find Jews on the side of the road. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Kneeling down to them because they were children of Abraham. We weren't. When you get to Paul's ministry, now Jesus talks to you, to us, a Gentile. But he does it through Paul. Only two men in Scripture say, follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. Follow me, Paul says. Verse number 17, for this cause, so that you can follow me, have I sent unto you Timotheus. Timothy followed Paul. Therefore, Timothy was able to go and teach these people how to follow Paul. I follow Paul. Josh follows Paul's instructions and teachings. 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says, and the things which thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Our job is to follow Paul, teach others to do the same doctrine. Verse 17, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, that's Timothy, who is my beloved son. Now, was Timothy Paul's biological son? No. Acts 16, his father was a Greek man. But spiritually speaking, that was his son. He begot him through the gospel of God's grace. Verse 17, and faithful in the Lord. Faithful to these truths, as Brother Terry in his prayer, faithful stewards of this mystery of Christ. Faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of Christ's ways. No, my ways. Do you see the boldness of our apostle Paul? My ways, which be in Christ. Notice he always tells you, I have begotten you in Christ. My ways, which be in Christ. He's exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. But he also is magnifying his own office at the same time. My ways, which be in Christ, as I teach in some churches in some places. No. As I teach what? Everywhere in how many churches? Every church. You get the call, the email. Brother Ron, how come these guys don't teach what y'all teach or that? You go ask them. What are you asking me for? It's in the Bible. I didn't write this. I get the craziest stuff. Josh, I got to tell you about it. Boy, you get the craziest stuff. I don't know. Go ask him. Ask him. Well, I know why. Filthy lucre. We went over that era. You're not going to get rich teaching this message. You'll get rich teaching people about the Old Testament and Israel's program, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all that, lying to them like the Cretans. But you're not going to get rich teaching this message. And therefore, I've shared this message with some prominent Twin Cities pastors who see it. We shared it when I was at Brother Jordan. We've shared it with real famous preachers and teachers on the radio and television who see it. And you know what the response is? Can't teach that. I'll lose my assembly. Now, what will happen is, your assembly will split, but you're always going to have a group of people who see it as you're teaching it, and they're going to go with you. You're going to have a little tiny grace church like this. See? But who cares what people think? As Paul teaches everywhere in every church. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And so as the apostle Paul, he ordains, verse 17, in all churches. Now watch what he says. Is any man called being circumcised? Now circumcision goes way back to Genesis. It's synonymous with the covenant God made with Israel. So these are Jews, okay? That issue of circumcise, there's the covenant given to Abraham where you circumcise your male children, cut off their flesh. It's a type of them being circumcised in heart and ears, believers. And it was synonymous with the Hebrew people, the Jews. And then there's the uncircumcised. If it aired already, I did something about the Jew and Gentile. If it didn't air, it'll air next week on the radio. There's the people who are not Hebrews. Abraham, the Hebrew. You were either of that group in time past or you were in this group. This was also called the Gentiles, the nations. And I told you that sometimes the Greek or the Hebrew would say Gentiles. Others would say nations. And as when I studied out, this is all the lands outside of Israel. This is all the people of those lands. It's synonymous, but these are the individuals. These are just their nations, tongues, languages, all that. Anyway, if you were circumcised in the scriptures, you were one of the sons of Abraham. If you were uncircumcised, you were one of the Gentiles. OK. So wherever you called in the body of Christ, verse 18, is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Now, what is he saying? Well, if you are a Jewish person, you don't have to let your Jewishness go. Be who you are. When Paul was with Jews, he himself being a Jew and Gentile in one body, he was a Jewish man, Hebrew, but he was also a freeborn Roman citizen. He's a type of the body of Christ, a Jew and a Gentile in one body. So is Timothy. Timothy's mother was Jewish and his father was a Gentile. He's a type of the body of Christ, Jew and Gentile in one body. When Paul was with Jews, in fact, it got him in trouble in the book of Acts. When he was with Jews, that Judaism he was steeped in would become overwhelming on him, legalism. And he would do all things like take vows and try to sacrifice. God didn't let him do this. He says, that's not you, Paul. Get out of there. But when he was with Gentiles, he didn't sin, but he let all that law keeping go, all that legalism go. He's going to say in chapter 9, I'll do whatever I have to do for any man. When I'm with the Gentiles, I'll be like them. When I'm with the Jews, I'll be like them. I want to save people. He's building a rapport. Look what he says in verse 18. Is any man called being uncircumcised? Excuse me, circumcised. If you're Jewish, let him not become uncircumcised. Now, let me ask you. If you're circumcised in your flesh, you can't put that flesh back on there. So obviously he's not talking about physical circumcision there. What he's talking about, God doesn't change your culture. He purifies and cleanses the culture. Look around. There's blacks here. There's whites, Hispanic. The body of Christ is made up of all different types of outward flesh, but that's not the issue. If you go and see Grace Believers in Africa, Brother Dash Stridham, he has a ministry in Africa. They sing differently than we do. If you just look at the church, I come from a full gospel black Baptist church. The songs are different. When you come to the Grace Church, you come to hymns. I'm pressing on. You're like, what in the world is this? It's a little different from my peeps, you know. That's one of the things, you know. It's just different. There's a brother in the Lord in Chicago. His name was Andre. I hope he's listening. I hope I meet him. This boy had musical talent. He was in rap and hip hop. And he's like, Brother Ron, we sing hymns. I said, because of the doctrine, Andre. I said, you know what you need to do? You need to write some rap and hip hop songs with Grace Doctrine. He says, yes, I'm going to do that. And that boy got up there and sang that song. He was like, yeah, the white people in our congregation are like, what, really? I said, y'all just let them do it. Listen to the words. Everybody, God doesn't change the culture. He purifies it. Andre went from singing rap and hip hop with bad words to having words that could get a person saved and edified. But he was who he was. God didn't change that. You don't have to be alike. We're different. Art thou called being circumcised? Verse 18. Don't become uncircumcised. Don't be acting like a Gentile. And by the way, if you're called in your uncircumcision like a Gentile, don't submit to circumcision. In Jerusalem Council, Acts 15 and Galatians 2, Paul took Titus with him, and Titus was not circumcised. He was an uncircumcised Greek Gentile, and yet he was as faithful a brother in the Lord as any Jew would ever be. He didn't submit to physical circumcision, but he had the true circumcision of the heart. Paul says in Philippians 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. We worship God in the spirit and not in the flesh. That's what he said. Our hearts are circumcised. Verse number 19. Now, this is a dispensational change. Watch this. Circumcision is what? No Jew could say that outside of Paul. You think Peter could say that before Paul was saved? You think Peter could say, you don't need to be circumcised? The rest of the apostles would have turned around on Peter and stoned him. Do you understand they have been circumcised for 2,000 years? Going back to Abraham? No. You needed to be circumcised, but not when you come to Paul's ministry. That's why you need to rightly divide. In the dispensation of grace, circumcision is nothing. And by the way, being a Gentile, uncircumcised, we don't have any status over them. Paul tells us in Romans 11, don't you be haughty towards the Jewish people now. Because God cut off the natural branches, it's very easy for him to cut you little grafted branches out easily as well. We stand by faith. They were cut off because of unbelief. At verse 19, your Jewishness doesn't mean anything to God. Your Gentileness doesn't mean anything to God. What means something to God? But the keeping of the what? Commandments of God. That's the issue. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, it says, Solomon, the wise man, at the end of his life, the wise preacher says, fear God. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter of life. Fear God and keep his commandments. Now, the commandments of God today, we'll look at that in a minute. Fear God, keep his commandments, for that is the whole duty of man. What's the whole duty of man? Fearing God and keeping his commandments. Go to chapter 14, if you will. Does that mean we got to keep the law of Moses? No. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, look at verse 37. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. If, what type of man? Any man. That includes you and me. If you think yourself, himself, to be a prophet. Now, this is when prophets were actually really there. Prophecy was operating. If you don't know nothing about spiritual gifts, stay with us. We're going to be talking about it. The body of Christ is confused when it comes to spiritual gifts, speaking in tongues and all that. Paul will give you understanding. When this particular gift was in operation, the gift of prophecy, if you thought you were a prophet of God or spiritual means you think you know something about God's word. If I ask you, would you consider yourself spiritual? Please say yes. Say yes. That's my job to help you. Yes. Because I'm going to tell you why. Thank you. And that, nothing about me. If somebody says, Brother Ron, are you a spiritual man? I say, yes, I am. Well, how do you know? All right. Let him acknowledge. Act upon this knowledge. Make it known that the things that I, who wrote this? Paul. I write unto you are the commandments of who? The Lord. There's the test of true spirituality. If I walk up to you and I say, are you spiritual? You say, yes, I am. What is the proof? I acknowledge, Brother Ron, that the things that the Apostle Paul writes for us today are the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say, you are spiritual. Two questions I ask people when I first hear talk to them. I love having people call. If I have time to talk with them and get into it, I ask them, has anyone ever loved you enough to ask you, if you were to die today, do you know for sure where you're going to spend eternity? Are you going to go to heaven or are you going to go to hell? Get that settled first. Most people who claim to be believers don't have that settled. They're confused about salvation. But once that's settled, and they know that even when they commit sins in the future, they're not going to do a 1 John 1:9. I'm going to record one of those this week because I get that 1 John 1:9. If we confess, you don't have to confess your, no, they're done. Once they got that settled, the next question I ask, do you know who your apostle is? Because there's not a greater question outside of the salvation one than you know who your apostle is. Who is God sent one in your life, in my life? Well, that's Paul. Let him acknowledge the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Go back to chapter 7, if you will. And so once you acknowledge that, all you do is keep the commandments of God. That's the issue. And they're found in Paul's epistles. Look at verse 20. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 20. Let every man abide in the same calling where he was called. Where are you at? Now, in this case, I have to show you this. There's a present distress going on. Go down to verse 26, because we're going to get into some things about singlehood, marriage and stuff. And it's going to look like Paul's telling people not to get married, because early he said, I wish every man was like me. But that's only because of a specific issue here. Verse 26. I suppose, therefore, that it is good for the what? Present distress. So something was going on in Corinth, where there was this persecution, affliction, something going on affecting families. I say that it is good for a man so to be. So we'll get to that in a moment. Look back up to verse number 20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a what? Servant. Now, servanthood back there, God is not, let me say this again, God is not condoning slavery. 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul calls slavery, he calls it men stealing, where you steal men and you sell them for a profit, for money, and you get free labor like our country did with our ancestors. That's punishable by death in Scripture. Servanthood is when you owe somebody some money. It's like our credit. It's credit. You owe them, but instead of putting in your charge card, charge it, you know, you worked it off for them if you didn't have the money. Servanthood. The book of Philemon shows this principle. There's a servant by the name of Onesimus. He runs away from his master, Philemon. Philemon is a believer. He has a church in his house. His wife and his son are there. They're ministering. They have a ministry. Their servant runs away. He was lost when he ran away. He got saved there in Rome, I believe, through Paul's ministry. We found him there and probably went to Roman prison because he ran away, servant. And he gets saved and they sent him back. Paul sent him back with the book and with the thing of receiving him. That's the type of Christ receiving us, the Father receiving us for Christ's sake. So here, watch what he says in verse 21. Art thou called being a what? Servant. Care not for it. But wait a minute, Paul. Are you saying I should just stay a servant? Till you pay your debt off? Yeah. Don't do like Onesimus did and run away. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. Paul says, if you somehow by the grace of God get out of that servanthood, the guy just one day say, you know what? You owe me a $500. I just clear that debt. You're free. Then Paul says, now use your freedom now. You can serve God as a servant under the bonds of a master, or you can serve him in a different capacity free. What we're going to find out is you could serve God in the capacity of marriage, and even more so in singlehood, you can serve God. It's different, but I mean, you're a little more free. I'll show you that. Look at verse number 22. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is whose free man? The Lord's. You might be like Paul in bonds and chains, and you can say, I'm the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. There you go. That's what Paul said. You could be under the yoke of servanthood because of what you owe. You can serve your master, Paul says in Colossians. You serve your master as unto the Lord. But he's a servant as unto the Lord. Verse number 22. Likewise, also he that is called being free is whose servant? Christ. You say, I'm not a servant, I'm a master. You know what Paul says in Colossians? Masters, do that which is just and equal, for you know you have a master in heaven. You might be free and not under the bonds of man, but you do have a master. You know, one of our young sisters in the Lord, Monica's daughter, asked me about 1 Corinthians 11, about submission. The husbands and the wives and the male and the female. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of man is Christ. But even Jesus Christ is God. He got a head. It's the Father. And so there's godly submission. And although man doesn't have anyone over him like the female, as far as in the flesh, he does have somebody over, the Lord Jesus. And us men, our master is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our head is the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 11. We'll see that. Because even if you're free, verse 22, you're Christ's servant. Verse 23, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of who? Men. Interesting. What was that price? Anybody know? The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. He said, the church which he hath purchased with his own blood. I dealt with those Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm going to tell you how sly they are with that New World Translation. Acts chapter, you know when you know right division, they don't come back to your house, don't you? Where most Christians hide, pull the blinds, hide, and you be sitting out there waiting on them. Got cookies? I got milk? Come on. Do it on Saturdays. Lay out two by two.
Acts chapter 20, verse 28 in that version. By the way, John chapter, oh boy, John chapter 20. I forgot myself, I think. In John chapter 20, where Thomas calls him my Lord and my God. I don't know, it's leaving me right now.
In their own version, New World Translation, they'll use a New World and a King James. When they hand that watchtower to you, you have a track ready. They ain't going to take it, though. I always try to give them something. They don't take it. John 20, 28, I think when Thomas calls him after the resurrection, my Lord and my God. Now, in their version, in John chapter 1, they change all the big G's. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. They turned him to a God, little G, right? Take away from his glory, like a cult would do. But in their own version, which they messed up, they left this one in there. New World Translation got Thomas calling him God, and Jesus is not saying, no, I'm not God. He let him worship him. Big G, New World Translation. New World Translation, Acts 20, 28. Here, go over there. I got to let you see it. Go to Acts chapter 20, look at verse 28, just so you can see it. When he's talking about you're bought with a price. Acts chapter 20, look at verse 28. Let's read in the King James. Acts 20, 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own what? It's the church of God, big G, which he, God, has purchased with his own blood. There's the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God. But I'm going to show you how subtle they change it in theirs. Anybody know what they put? The blood of his own son. Yeah. God, his own blood, the blood of his own son. Now, if you look at that, you know, Paul talks about the Son of God and all that. But look at how dastardly that is. Because the doctrine that God put in there was that I paid for your redemption with my own blood. Jesus Christ, the second person of Godhead. They change it, see? Because, see, God to them is Jehovah. And they're right. But the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Lord Jesus Christ of the New Testament. So it's fine to say that God purchased with his own blood because he is Jehovah. Anybody know what Jesus' names mean? Joshua? Jehovah Savior. I mean, every time a Jew said his name, they were saying Jehovah Savior. It's Joshua in the Old Testament, like our brother Josh here. Anybody know what his word was before he became a man? I said his name. His word was. His name was before he became human, was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. He's called the Word of God. Word of God. By the way, if Jesus is the Word of God and he's perfect, is it possible that you should have a Word of God if man shall live by bread alone that's perfect? Unfortunately, if you speak English and you're not using the King James Bible, I could sit down with you and show you all types of errors in it. Man, that's your own. I'm not a legalist. You do it. This is not a King James only. This is a King James only pulpit. And I'm King James only because I study. But you can use whatever version. It's just easy to follow along here. And your version will lie to you. And I'll show you if you like. Not today. Me and Crystal got if my wife makes it. Is she here today? Is she here? Y'all, I'm afraid now, man. My wife. Mother. Find out. Is Quincy Stitch here? Okay. My heart. She's my heart. I got it. I'm jittery now. Okay. She's not here yet. All right. So it's his own blood. Don't let him change it on you. We got a few minutes. Go back to Acts, 1 Corinthians 7. And so you are bought with that precious blood. You know what I hear sometimes? They say, Brother Ron, you teach cheap grace. And I'm happy that they're on the phone or on the email and not in front of me. Because I'm from the... I don't teach cheap grace. Are you kidding me? You see this red cross right here? That red cross, that's the blood. That's the most precious thing in the world was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Brother Ryan, you teach easy believism. Well, yes, sure I do. Why would God make it difficult? I mean, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If he told you to do a work, you wouldn't do it right. He, for 4,000 years of human history to the cross, man didn't do it right. Why wouldn't you? It's not cheap grace. Look, this ain't going to happen, but if I bought one of y'all a Mercedes, I had a woman tell me, I don't like Christians. I don't like going to church because all those preachers got Mercedes. I was looking around like this. Who that? Not me. You mean them guys who steal money from people? Yeah. Like Creflo Dollar. He took my money and bought him a big old Escalade limo or whatever. No. This was paid for, even though it's free for you. If I bought you a $90,000 Mercedes, that means the Lord would bless me first. So, Lord, it's okay. You can do that. But if I did, hypothetically, you wouldn't look at that and say, I didn't pay for it, Ron, so it's cheap. You'd be like, yes. Put some rims on that mug, too, man, while you're at it. And you know what you would say? Brother Ron was so kind to give me this. If somebody say how cheap that is, they say, no. That cost him $100,000. It cost me nothing. Well, that's what Christ did. It cost him his blood, his precious blood, his life, so that we might, by faith alone, have life. It's not cheap. It's very expensive. It's just free to us. It's the gift freely given. Verse 24. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. If you're not given to marriage, then that's fine. If you want to get married, look what he says, verse 25. Now concerning virgins. Now, we're going to have to pick it up in 2 weeks because I had to go through all this, but I want to deal with this. Now concerning virgins. Now in the Bible, if you were not married, if you hadn't yet to be married, in that culture, you were a virgin. A couple of reasons, particularly this is going to deal with men too, but women. If you weren't a virgin, particularly in the Middle East, in that culture, and you were espoused to someone like Mary was, and you found with child, or they found out you had relations, you could be killed, stoned. Now, you could have been divorced. You could have been widowed or something, and another man take you. But it wasn't like our culture. If a woman wasn't a virgin, she wasn't as valuable to men. That's why marriage, once you took that virgin to be your wife, God didn't take that lightly, because you're her husband. You have a duty to her, a lifelong duty, because if you put her away and another man found out that she was with another, they had their choice of these virgins, and she was probably going to be a widow the rest of her, single the rest of her life. So that mattered. I know our crazy Gentile world, everybody, to find a virgin today by the age of 18 is almost impossible in this culture. Well, that's because they don't do things God's way. Now look at verse 25. Now concerning virgins. Now watch what he says. I have no command of the Lord. Paul would get specific commandments from the Lord about specific situations, and sometimes he wouldn't. But then, as the apostle, he had the authority from God to make his own judgments. So in this such case, he's about to tell you, watch what he says. Yet I give my judgment, his discernment, his spiritual discernment, as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be what? Faithful. Paul's position as the apostle gives him this right, this mercy, this blessing from God to make these determinations. You know, we're going to have to end, and we're going to pick up. You know, people think that God is like this big tyrant in the sky. He's not. I'm going to give you an example. God is like the supreme judge, and he has other jurists with him, other judges. I was the foreman on the jury. The judge says, you all are judges. I make the final determination, but you all, you know, a jury of your peers make up whether you're guilty or not. And then the judge sentences you. And even some juries give you the sentence. That's how God is. He's not a big bully just saying, do this, do that. He's going, what do you think about it? He does. 1 Kings 22. The angels around him, he's like, he deals with his sons and daughters. The angels are all sons, but we're sons and daughters. In the kingdom, with Israel and with us, God's going to say, what should we do? And Josh is going to tell him something, and I'm going to tell him something. Peter says, well, what do you think, Lord, about that? Now, only grace believers are going to be that close to him. Paul and grace believers. Our brethren in the body of Christ who don't listen to Paul, they're going to be all out in the outskirts of the universe, the heavenly places. But God, he asks you, hey, what do you think? What do you think? Okay, let's do it that way. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? You hear what Paul's saying in 1 Corinthians 2? You can give him instructions, for we have the mind of Christ. Who have been his counselor. We're going to help him in his counsel. Do you understand? That's fantastic. But the way you're going to do it is you got to have his mind down here. And that's only through Paul. And so God, he lets Paul decide things. You can give your judgment as one who has obtained mercy to be faithful in the Lord. Let's end in verse 26. We'll pick up second part of this next 2 weeks. I suppose, therefore, that it is good for the present distress. Paul says, Christ didn't give me a particular commandment, but look what's going on. I'm looking around. It's a messed up situation. We got to do it this way. This is the wise way. I suppose, therefore, that it is good for the present distress. I say so. I say that it's good for a man so to be. And as we come down to the end, in verse 26, he's dealing with, if you are not married for that present distress, he's saying, then don't get a wife, because then children are going to be involved. You're going to leave orphans back, fatherless, and it's going to be a big mess. In most cases, he would say, go and marry. I will, therefore, let the younger women marry and bear children, guide the house and all this. But in that distress there, he says, don't do it. So we'll look at that in detail. We'll pick up in verse 27 in 2 weeks. If you're here today, you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, or if you're listening to us by way of technology, thank you for listening. But the goal of this study is not just to give you instruction on life. It's to first give you life. And the only life that I can share with you, like Peter says, silver and gold have we none, but such we have. It's the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that life was given on Calvary. The blood of God was shed at Calvary. Christ, our Lord, died on the cross to pay for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day. If you trust that gospel of grace by faith alone, God will save you. And if you're saved today, we have new people always here and listening. The reason you're here is because you're not getting what you're looking for. Really, that's what it is. And if you're looking for the truth of God's word to make sense of it and make sense of your life in Christ, you're only going to do that by rightly dividing and listening to Paul. And that's what the Apostle Paul commands. And that's what he says. If any man thinks himself to be spiritual, let him acknowledge the things I write are commandments of the Lord. That's why we're here. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and life in him. We thank you that we can get into your word, go verse by verse, just expound on the verses, Father. Make the book the issue, the verses the issue. We don't have to avoid passages. We don't have to, pick and choose. We can just go right through. As the scriptures say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Father, we thank you for great understanding and wisdom. We do pray for our ministry. Continue to grow and blossom under the ministry of your grace and your rightly divided word. We thank you for it. We think about our brothers and sisters in Christ who don't have it, but we're thankful. We're grateful. May we always appreciate things that we have in Christ. As we go our separate ways at this moment, Father, may we use our lives of grace to bless you in all that we do. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.